Welcome to Recalculating America. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America and has been named the best small business book in the Independent Press Awards competition. Each Recalculating program is dedicated to helping small business leaders add profits through efficient growth. During every Recalculating program, experts will give listeners useful information about starting or growing their small business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features contributions of more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders, all whom offer you ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Well, Dan, our first guest is Harold Montgomery. He's CEO and chairman of Money on Mobile, and it is India's largest mobile payment platform, something we badly need here in the United States. And he's here to discuss how his company transforms the lives of low-income women in India as mobile money agents on the Money on Mobile network. His website is moneyonmobile.in. Harold, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Well, to begin with, Harold, tell us first about your company, about your concept, and how you ended up from Dallas in India.
Sure. First of all, our company is called Money on Mobile. The ticker symbol is MOMT. We are traded on the Bulletin Board QX exchange here in the United States. We're a public company. I launched the company about 6 years ago in the payment space, and then in 2011, I was speaking at a conference in London, and I met some Indian entrepreneurs who had started a company in the mobile money space, and I started making an investment in it through the public company in 2012, and eventually wound up with the majority ownership over there. And developed a leadership team around growing that business, which has worked out really well. I sold the U.S. business back in 2015 and changed the name of the company to Money on Mobile. And so we now have this two-footprint model. We have all of our operations in India with about 300 employees, and we have six leadership employees here in Dallas who manage the public company and then handle relationships outside of India. There's plenty of companies outside of India that want to do business there but aren't quite sure how to do it, and they like dealing with an American entity. So we're over in India all the time, and it's really a great business environment right now.
But Harold, explain to our audience, what do you mean by a mobile money and exactly how it works for
sure. Keep in mind, Don, that the vast majority of the Indian population does not have a bank account. Let's start there. That means they're dealing in all cash. So any transaction they want to perform, they have to go in person and they have to pay cash. So our system is really simple. We have over 300,000 neighborhood convenience-type locations that vend out our product. That means they have a prepaid balance with Money on Mobile that makes them a bill payment and cash dispersal location. They're like a mini bank, and the consumer will come and ask to perform a transaction, let's say paying a utility bill, for example. They'll pay cash, physical cash, and the agent, our agent, will text us, simple SMS text, instructions around what bill to pay, for whose account, how much money, and we will move the digital currency from the retailer's account into that bill payment. The retailer will collect cash. Everything in our system is prepaid. There's no credit risk at all. And right now, we're performing 6 to 7 million transactions like that every single month all across India. And we've grown almost 100% by revenue in this calendar year. already, Don. So it's a really exciting environment to be involved in right now in India.
Well, really, it sounds that way. So in essence, we're talking about here in the United States, for instance, a bodega here in the New York City area.
Correct.
Someone will go in, put cash on the counter. That person will then enter that amount, take a small fee for himself. You'll take a small fee, and the rest goes to pay the electric bill or whatever bill.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So just the way people pay cash here at, for example, an Ace Cash Express, or you buy a money order at a convenience store, it's that kind of thing, right? We don't own the store. We don't operate the store. We are a sell-through product at the store, and the magic of it is it helps that store build foot traffic, collateral sales, and everybody in our distribution system makes a little bit on every transaction. It's all commission-driven. So we built the largest mobile money system in India with the smallest investment of anyone in the payment space in India. Most of them have raised $1 billion or $2 billion. We haven't done that because we haven't needed it, and we've come out as the largest mobile money system in the country.
Well, but you say you help Indian women. How do you do that?
Well, interestingly, the biggest group of the unbanked population is actually women in India, and many of them are small entrepreneurs. And what they want is a frictionless way to transact for their small business needs. If they're making handicrafts or weaving or something like that, they want to pay suppliers, they want to collect money. They can do that all now just using a simple feature phone. That you don't have to have a smartphone to engage Money on Mobile. A simple feature phone that can text is sufficient to operate Money on Mobile. It goes to the lowest common denominator technology. So we've got some really exciting stories on our website, for example, about women entrepreneurs who are really prospering with Money on Mobile as agents.
Well, Dan has a lot of questions. I'm just going to ask one more. Having been in India a number of times and knowing the bureaucracy of India, how do you deal with that? Many companies seem to have trouble dealing with the Indian government. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with it?
Well, we're licensed and regulated by the Reserve Bank of India, which is the central bank, and we have found the regulation regime in India to be pretty favorable for digital payments companies and pretty supportive of our growth. We've not had any issues. And then many of your listeners may know that just recently the Indian government has really been pushing digital transactions hard. They're trying to eliminate cash, which is great for us. It's growing our system tremendously. So actually, we're enjoying a tremendous positive tailwind from the Indian government policies at the moment.
I'm going to turn it over to Dan.
All right, sir. Let me start off with some fundamentals. Harold, why is it that India as a nation, as large as it is, has such a backward banking system?
Well, it's a great question, Dan. There's about 150,000 branch banks in India and about 200,000 ATMs, but there's over 600,000 towns and villages. So most of the population of India is transacting in all cash. There's a lot of reasons for that. One is it's expensive to build a bank branch somewhere, and you've got to have enough traffic to make it work. But another reason is most people don't really want a bank account. They make $200 a month, and they move it around as fast as they can. So they don't need a bank to warehouse the money. I actually went to a village in India, and I asked one gentleman, why don't you use a bank? And he pointed to a dark building 100 yards away, and he said, you see that? That's the bank. It's been closed for a week because we don't have power. We don't have electrical power. So this is the kind of thing you see in India. Banks mostly don't have a product that works for the lower and middle-income person, which is most of the country.
Now, following that, I'm fascinated because there are other organizations around the globe who are trying to do what you're doing in other countries. And
right.
they specifically, like you, and maybe it's a misrepresentation, but they tend to be in the same marketplace, and that is working with low-income women. Now, is that simply a bad setup, or is it in fact that your particular business model works very well with women who are small entrepreneurs?
Yeah, our model works very well with the small entrepreneurial female-run business for a lot of different reasons. One is that India is a very conservative place, and women, if they don't have to leave the house, they don't want to leave the house. And so with our system, you can transact using SMS without ever leaving the house. So that's a big win. And the other thing is our system is private. You can conduct business on Money on Mobile, and it's only known to you because it's all in your cell phone. So these two things make it really attractive for women. One thing we do, by the way, is we identify our female agents on our drop-down menu. If you have a smartphone, you can find us on Google Maps, and we have the little dots that show you where our agents are in your town, and the ones that are run by women, we identify with a pink dot so that women can go and transact with other women. They prefer that. A woman in India doesn't want to give her phone number to a man, for example, to pay the phone bill, but she'll do it with another woman. So we find that marketing specifically to females as a user group is a really smart business move as well.
But your transactions are going to be smaller, and as a result of smaller transactions, don't you have an abnormally high price in terms of production costs to process the transaction?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, no, we don't. Our costs to process a transaction are extremely low in India. I mean, we could actually process a single rupee or two profitably. We can do transactions of 5 to 10 rupees profitably. That's, let's say, you know, 5 to 6 cents. In addition to that, a lot of our small value transactions are paid. The commission is paid by the vendor, the phone company, for example, as a percentage of the value of the transaction. So it's really a great business model that way.
So if I look at the business model, I'm wondering what is it about the government, as you pointed out a few moments ago, that wants the consumer, the small entrepreneur, man or woman, to move away from a cash business? What's the motivation at the government?
Well, the government wants to see things move more efficiently, for one thing. That'll help the economy. It'll help stamp out counterfeit currency. It'll help with a lot of different things. It'll also, by the way, help with visibility around revenue and of course, tax collection, which ultimately is what the government wants to see happen. But another thing that we don't think much about here in the States is subsidies distribution. Right now, many subsidies are handed out in cash, and you can only imagine there's leakage associated with that. But if you could distribute subsidies straight to someone's cell phone that can be redeemed digitally, then you take out all of the leakage that's currently in that program. So that's a big positive motivator for the government as well.
So what does the small business entrepreneur give up when they go from cash to your or anybody else's system? What are they giving up?
Well, they're gaining a lot of efficiency. They're gaining a lot of transparency. They're gaining safety because you can't be robbed of digital currency. So imagine a restaurant owner taking his receipts for the day to the bank. Now it can be done digitally. So that's a big win for those guys. They do have to come in compliance with the tax system, and many people prefer not to do that. But mostly in India, the taxes don't really apply to these small businesses that we do. The government just wants visibility around how many of them there are and what's going on. They actually don't qualify. They don't make enough to qualify for tax payments.
But are some of the people in India, are they afraid that it's Big Brother watching?
We haven't run into that so much. We're not an internet-based system, so it's not hackable. It's all SMS text-based, and we haven't run into that sense of concern about Big Brother watching in our system. I think people in our market are just very grateful to have the opportunity to transact more smoothly and efficiently than they used to do before by waiting in line.
We have to stop here, Dan and Harold. for a word from our sponsor, but we'll be right back.
Life, it's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
We're back here with Harold Montgomery talking about how his company helps a small business, particularly women in India. But then I just want to drop in one question and ask Harold, how could his system be applied to the United States, and how can it help small business here in the United States?
Great question. There is a large unbanked population here in the U.S. that would benefit from having a mobile phone-based way to transact easily, even if they don't have a bank account. I think in our case, we've got our hands full in India, and so we're really exploiting that market and giving investors a window into this high growth opportunity through our publicly traded stock. Ticker symbol MOMT, but if somebody were to launch in the States, I think small business would benefit tremendously because cash actually has a cost to handle, and most people don't necessarily think about it, but it costs you money to have cash. The loss, theft, pilferage, damage, time to count it and store it, take it to the bank, the risk of being robbed on the way to the bank, and so on. If all this were to be digital, it would be really much better.
But doesn't, as is Dan Perkins, Harold, doesn't that same risk of being robbed when you're going to the place to make the deposit? I mean, you can use your cell phone, but sooner or later, if you've got cash, you have to take it somewhere. And
that's right.
Taking it to one of your processing people, but you still got the cash that you have to deal with.
Exactly correct. You've got to get it into a bank somehow, some way, somewhere, and that is better than just having it in cash all the time in large quantities. You see, overnight, for example, at least this way with money on mobile, you're taking cash out of the system and digitizing it at some stage in the game.
Now, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about is you may have seen this promotion. I think it was not this past weekend, but the weekend before, where Visa was offering, I think, up to $500,000 in bonus money for people who would get rid of cash and simply use their Visa credit cards. Are you familiar with that promotion?
Right. Yeah, I did see that.
And so
it's part of a worldwide movement by Visa, MasterCard, and others, and governments as well, to move the cash-intensive population further into digital transactions over time. Cash is the enemy in a lot of ways. It's got lots of issues I've mentioned in an earlier discussion, but governments want to see the economies digitized worldwide. Consumers benefit, shopkeepers and store owners and small business definitely benefit from digital transactions.
So let's go back to your India model. What is the cost for cell phone service in India versus the United States?
Well, that's a great question. It's actually really low. There are 15 phone companies in India, and it's very competitive. You can do a text for less than a penny and a phone call for about one penny a minute. So it's very low cost, and you can do international calls for about 2 cents a minute.
So that the price of the communications infrastructure and the devices are probably a lot less expensive in India than they are in the United States, making it perhaps in some cases a fixed cost that some American small business may not be interested in having and much rather just deal with cash.
Well, I think in the case of India, you know, the cost of entry into the cell phone business there, if you want to be a customer, is really low. You can buy a simple phone for $8 that will have two SIM cards in it, so you can play your vendors off one another. You can buy a smartphone in India for $20 that's an introductory-level smartphone, not quite as sophisticated as the Apple iPhone, for example, but very serviceable. And so this is why India has gone from virtually no cell phones 20 years ago to having over 1 billion cell phones in the market today. It's an exploding opportunity there.
So what kind of market penetration do you have at the moment?
Well, actually, we've grown 100% this calendar year already, but we are just scratching the surface of what remains to be done in India. Our gross revenues for the year last year were $4 million, but we estimate that our whole market opportunity is over $8 billion a year in fee revenue, so 200 times the size of where we are right now. So we've got a huge amount of growth opportunity to go. I'm sorry, 2,000 times bigger than where we are today. So this is a giant market that we're approaching, and it's one of the things that makes our stock an exciting investment. It's just the scale of what we're doing.
Is China right behind it?
China actually leads the world in terms of digital money. In fact, there's a great article in the New York Times today, the 17th of July, on page B1, about digital money in China. And I think you can look at China as a bellwether for where India is going. I think
so
India
are the cost
digital money.
In cost structures in China similar to the cost structures in India?
Yes, I think they are.
I'm not sure that cost structure and business model could work in the United States.
Well, it can work. SMS text is cheap here, and, you know, the appearance of things like WhatsApp and other methods make it even cheaper. So I think the trend line is toward very, very low-cost telecom here in the U.S. that would work real well with mobile money.
So in India, who are your biggest competitors?
Well, actually, believe it or not, in the mobile money space, chasing the unbanked customer, we really don't have a national competitor at scale. There are other companies that investors might hear about that are in the payment space generally, but they look a lot more like Apple Pay. They're a front end for the bank account and the credit card. We don't assume you have either one of those. And so when it comes to marketing to the unbanked, we're really number one in India in size and scale.
So go ahead, Don.
No, I was going to jump in, Harold, because we're getting close to the end, and I had a question, which is you have 300,000 people who can take in the money, but and essentially you have someone that says, here's 100 rupees, put it up there. What does it prevent somebody from saying they received 100 rupees and having and paying some bill? Well, how do you protect against fraud?
Sure. So in the case of our retail population, they have to put down a deposit in cash to our company through the bank or hand it to us individually. And until we get that cash, we don't credit their account. And then they go and turn around and collect cash from consumers to pay bills. Their deposit with us depletes accordingly. And then they have more cash, which they then turn around and make a deposit with our company. So conceptually, you can think of it as just like a bank. We're taking in cash deposits, we're paying out digitally, we're taking more cash deposits, and so on. So there's really no window for fraud here.
Well, I think we could go on for an hour, Dan, but unfortunately, we're coming to the end with Harold Montgomery. Harold, your website and how people can reach you, and anything else you want to tell us before, unfortunately, we have to leave you?
Sure. Well, the company's called Money on Mobile. Our website is moneyonmobile.in for India, .in. A little unusual there, moneyonmobile.in. Our ticker symbol is M as in Mary, O as in Oscar, M as in Mary, T as in Tom. And right now our stock's a screaming bargain, so I recommend everybody take a look at it. It's a real exciting time for us and a real exciting play.
Thank you for joining us.
Dan, you finish up.
So I'm just going to thank him for joining us and sharing us about something about small business overseas. And we'll have you back again soon. And we'll put your website up again on our website, recalculating.biz, along with the show later today. Thanks again for coming.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Now we have to have a word from our sponsor before we hear from Justin Hartzman.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Welcome back to Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful. Now it's time for Money in Motion. Dan Perkins is our resident expert in making the money you earn work as hard as you do. Here is Dan Perkins.
Well, we're back, and we now have Justin Hartzman, the CEO and co-founder of Needles, the robo-agency that is making advertising on social media accessible to all business. You can find more information about the company at their website, Needles, needls.com. Justin, thank you for joining us today.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. The first question I have to ask you, Justin, when I went to your website, do you really use robots to do the work?
We do, and that's what makes us scalable in a venture company. What we can do with our computers and essentially the classifiers and artificial intelligence that we built is what you'd normally have a human do in a typical digital agency. So that is the case. And because of that, and we're diving right in head first here, we can have one account manager on our team for every 150 users right now. And at scale, that'll be over 300, where a typical digital agency that you might know about would have an average ratio of 1 to 10. So that's one account manager for every 10 accounts. So we're much more scalable.
So, Justin, let me give you a hypothetical example.
Yep.
We have this show called Recalculating. And Don and I come to you, and we're sitting across the desk from you, and we say, Justin, how can you make us grow our network? How can you make us grow our space? How can you make us get more listeners? And you would say?
Well, you know, that's the funny thing. I wouldn't really have to do anything. When a user comes to our website, they'd be greeted there by a live support or customer success manager, and you go through a 6-question setup process, and that's it. Where we'll learn about who you are, who you want to sell to or, you know, find listeners for, and what it is that you're actually selling. And then we create in real time 50 to 500 ads for the users and place them on Facebook. And that takes under 10 minutes to do. So I'll give you an example how our system works. If you were a local plumber and someone on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram said, my toilet's broken, what do I do? We understand they have a need for a plumber right there and then, and we're able to show them an ad in real time for the most optimal chance of someone clicking and becoming a customer. So the same thing goes for you guys. You know, we go on, we find out some information about you, and we'd be looking for people who are interested in learning more about what's going on in the technology space, you know, from everything small business to medium-sized business related. And when they talk about that or they have titles that match that or they post an article similar to that, we'd identify that they have an interest, and we'd show them an ad to come and see your radio show.
So Justin, if we want to do business together, you're going to do up to 500? Is that what you said? 500 ads?
Yeah, correct.
And where? And these are going to be on Facebook. So are they broadcast to Facebook, or how do you know who to get it out to?
Right. So we are an overlay onto the Facebook and Instagram platform, and what we're doing is creating ads for you and lots of ads. The idea is, this isn't an emotional situation, which a lot of people put it into. We want to drive as much data as quickly as possible to identify what's working to the right group. So what we do is we have access to the social media data, and we get to find those posts within it. So we call out and say, for a plumber, they want to hear words like shower, toilet, leaking, plumbing, all that sort of stuff. And then we use artificial intelligence through natural language processing to understand exactly what that post means. Do they have intent to purchase within it? And when we identify that, we know they're the right person to send an ad to. So I pulled out an example for you guys. I thought I could be asked this question, and that's why I keep going to the plumbing industry. And I will tell you what happened last night. At 11:47 p.m., a 45-year-old male in downtown Toronto, Canada, lived in a condo under $100,000 in household income, like sports, gambling, and a few other things. He said on Facebook, "My toilet's broken. What do I do? There's water absolutely everywhere." And then he used a word that I can't say right now. So we understood that because he has water everywhere and his toilet's broken, that we should show him an ad for a plumber. We did. We saw him click on that ad and then follow up with an appointment. So that's really good. That's our system working perfectly. But there isn't enough people who are always saying specific items like, "I need a plumber. Can you recommend me one?" So what we then do is we look at 30, 60, 90 days worth of data for people who did say something similar to that. And what we realize is not typically that 45-year-old man at 11 o'clock at night. When I look at hundreds of pieces of data, and again, taking the emotion out of it and just using our system to identify this, we understand that it's typically a 25 to 31-year-old female who has $100,000-plus household income with 2-plus children between 8 and 9 a.m. and 3 and 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Why? They just dropped their kids off at school. Now they went back home or they went to their office and they're solving a household problem. So now that we use that data and can identify it, we know the best time to advertise for our plumber in downtown Toronto will be between 8 and 9 in the morning to that female subset. So we're actually really identifying, bringing those programmatic ways of purchasing advertisement that would really be reserved for these giant corporations and enterprises down to the smallest business. There are 65 million small businesses on the Facebook platform, but only 4 million of them are using the ad platform today. And the reason behind that is the status quo options of do-it-yourself is very time-consuming and really ends up in the user losing money when they haven't done it correctly, or going to a typical digital agency, which is $5,000 up front, and then anywhere from 10 to 25% of every dollar they spend, they take as their commission. Well, that's not accessible to that 61 million other people out there. So at $100 a month as a SaaS platform, we're making advertising accessible to any SMB in a very, very effective way.
Are there, are there any businesses that you think this would not be favorable for?
Yeah, well, we find it hard to identify those, to be honest with you, but we did find one just not so long ago, underwater welding. We could not do a good job for them. It's someone who welds boats and fixes boats, and we just didn't find any data that helps support do the best job ever for them.
So I have one more question, then I'll turn it over to Don. I'm going to put Don on the spot because Don and I both are authors, and he's got a book that's based on the show, the Recalculating.biz show, the one that you're on right now. How could you help him with your technology expand the sales of his product?
Well, to be frank with you, we work with a lot of book authors. You know, it's a really big thing that people are going to self-authoring, you know, doing it through Amazon, or there's a bunch of publishers out there that work with people. And for us, it comes down to identifying the people who have the needs that match with what you're offering. So we learned that a little bit, you know, when we go through the process of setting up and we talk to Don, he'd identify 5 to 10 keywords that would really represent who his viewers or readers would be. And then we use data science to really push that out to go from 5 words to 500 and then identify intent within those and go look for them. So that's something that we get directed by our user. They help teach the system every time they join. That's why we enjoy the network effect on our side. Every user that we have, our classifiers and our system get stronger and more accurate. So for him, I guess you'd be looking for people who would be interested in, we just talked about it earlier, in learning about what the latest technologies, what are expanding businesses, places possibly invest in the market, where the market's going, young and old entrepreneurs who are doing new and great things. So we'd be searching for people who had those interests and putting his book in front of them.
Perfect. Don, back to you.
Well, I was going to funny, Dan, great minds work in the same direction, because I was going to ask him what he thought about our program and how to get our program more listeners. We know, based on research, that 59% of our listeners are owners and or presidents of small businesses. That's been consistent over this program and Small Business Digest over the last 10 years. Based on that, is that some way of using some of your techniques to increase listenership and or people who buy our books?
Well, absolutely. But those are the kind of things that we like to – we take that information – to find baselines. You know, you believe that is to be the case, well, we'll go out there and we'll test that theory. Is it true or is it not true? And we go out and look for people who have some sort, you know, we have find a great episode, like this episode, because I'm on it, obviously. We get put this episode up and say, you know, JustinHartsmanNeels.com, are you interested in watching? We see what those people say, who's reacting to it, why they're reacting to it, and then we'd be able to go out there and define a group. And we might find that, yeah, it is business owners or presidents and CEO of small businesses, but you have a heavier weight on people in the IT world, or you have a heavier weight on people who are interested in fintech. And when we can understand those pieces, then we can go to them and find more and more like them to ensure we're putting you in front of the right people at the right time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's interesting. We started the predecessor program in this one 17 years ago, and the data has been fairly consistent across time. We're also currently working with a fintech individual who start up a new company who's trying to figure out how to motivate people to, in effect, obtain new loans. What do you say to such a person who's trying to identify companies who are in the market for loans?
Well, we have a bunch of those people on our platform, so I know it works quite well. And the idea is he should be spending time at what he's really good at. And that's what every small business should be, whether you're a dentist or you're an individual lawyer or you're starting a startup. Spend your time at what you're best at. If that's the development side, if that's the customer service side, if that's building a business, directing, do it. Leave that hard work to us. That's what we program and use our systems to ensure that we're doing the best job for them at the lowest cost. So all I always say is, you know, break us off 10% of what your budget for marketing would be. See how we compare it to your other methods. Let us do the heavy lifting. At the end of the day, you'll be a lifelong user with the Neil's platform.
Well, I have one more question and go back to Dan. But how do you establish a budget for your work?
Our budget is fully determined by our user. They get to come in and choose whatever that fits their needs. We do not determine that. And that's, you know, specifically if you went to a typical agency, as I keep talking about, they don't like to deal with people whose budgets are below $5,000 a month because they don't make enough money from that account to put an account manager on to spend time and hours on. It doesn't matter for us whether you're spending $500 a month or $500,000 a month. We give you the same level of service, which is the best service possible, all done through our robo-agency.
Ben?
So, Justin, following up on Don's question, we go back to the example of Don's book. What kind of money could he expect to spend hiring you to promote his book?
Yeah, so you can start as low as $300 a month. That includes $200 in ad budget, so the minimum is $50 a week. and then our $100 a month platform fee to do all this for you. So that's really the starting point. A lot of people, or on average, our users are spending about $500 in ad budget on top of our fee in a current month. But it just varies. A lot of people will start at $50 and they'll work their way up. They're doing thousands of dollars a month as they see the ROI comes in and grow with us. But what I really want to, expose and tell people is we're not a magic bullet. We can't do anything better than the best marketers in the world, if you can afford to hire them, can do. Things do take time. It's not overnight. There's a four-week process where we establish a baseline. We do testing. We do variation testing. We do split testing. We go here, there, everywhere to ensure we're finding the best combination of the right ads, the right people at the right time. So whether you're working with us or you're working with anyone out there, it's always good to know that this takes a period of time. So what we say to our users, come in with a four-week budget that you're comfortable with as an investment to get you going, and then we can ramp it up from there to show you a long-term profitable ROI positive campaign as you continue to move forward. So we work with the smallest businesses up to, we have some national brands who work on our platform now because we've really done a good job in cracking the social media advertising code, which they have a hard time doing themselves. It's very difficult.
Yeah, Justin, given the instantaneous nature of what you do, I mean, you're there in an instant into somebody's computer or whatever, cell
phone.
Within
reason, yeah.
Yeah. And so the question is, if I start with you and you talked about the four-week program, do you have expectations of what I should see by the end of the fourth week?
Well, it's very hard to give expectations. It totally differs. Are you a $1 product or are you a $1 million product? What happens once we deliver traffic to your website? Was it mobile friendly? Did you have a way of following up with those individuals? Did you have a call to action? So us setting expectations unrealistic. We have to look at the kind of traffic we send to you, the cost of that traffic, and the quality of it. And our numbers don't lie, and I'll just throw out a single stat, so I think it's pretty telling, is that across Facebook's 4 million users, all of their campaigns, they deliver ads at a 0.9% click-through rate. So that's the amount of people who see an ad to click on it. On the Needles platform, over the last year, our average is 1.3% click-through rate. So we're doing 46% better using the methods that we do than Facebook, everyone who's using Facebook's platform on average. That's pretty impressive. And because we're 46% higher in the click-through rate, that comes from A, the ads that we produce for our users are much more organic and natural looking. They don't look overproduced. And B, we're finding the right people and putting the ads in front of them so they have more chance of clicking on them. But due to that, we're showing a 40% less CPM rate. CPM stands for cost per million. That's for every 1,000 views. On average, Facebook's over $7.40-something. So that's not exactly the number, but around there. And at Needles, we're at $4.26. So we're doing a dramatically better job of reducing the cost per click, as well as the CPM rate and the CTR rate. That just gives you some sort of expectations you can look forward to.
So we've got about 2 minutes here, and I've got a couple of questions, and we want to save room in case Don wants to ask another question.
Sure.
Your package of $200 a week plus $50 for a platform fee, do you actually design the advertising that's going to be sent out to the prospective buyers?
Yeah, let me just correct that so they'll have some mixed math expectations there. It's a minimum of $50 a week as a budget, so that's $200 a month in total ad spend, plus our $100 a month SaaS fee. So,
but in that $200, are you creating advertising to promote on Facebook?
Correct. That's what we're doing. So part of what they're giving us information and data that we need to best create the ads and variations of those ads, deliver them to the network on their behalf and do it for them. So they don't have to know how to use the Facebook platform. They have to have never built an ad before. They have to know how to be able to answer six simple questions like name of the campaign, how much they want to spend, five keywords that might represent their business or their service, You get the idea. Very simple things that anybody can do.
Okay, back to you, Don.
Well, yes, Dan, we have to stop a moment for a commercial, and then we'll be back with Justin Hartzman.
Before you hear this, or this, or even this, before you turn a key, step on the gas, and let it rip, before you get up and out and on the road, you have to be fueled by something. Make sure that something is Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
We're here with Justin Hartzman. He's president and CEO of Needles. It's been, for me, a fascinating time talking about social media. But I want to step back. Dan, you've been asking some great questions. And ask Justin, how the heck did he get into this industry? And what is he like about it?
That's a great question. Well, the idea came out of a need. And that's sort of where the name Needles came from. We're looking for people's needs. We're looking for needles in the social haystack out there. And the story goes, and I'll try and keep this quick here, is we were sitting in a year-end meeting at our own company, our past company, and we're looking for ways to grow our business. And I got a call from my wife at the time, and she says, hey, you see your friend needs an iOS app still? And we were building iPhone apps at that time. And I said, no, you know, sorry, honey, I don't look at Facebook all day, which is what she just thinks I do. And I said, okay, I'll tag you in. I called the person right there on the phone call. I haven't spoken to them in 10 years prior to that. And it turned into a $60,000 contract. And it was kind of just that aha moment where we went, people are asking for things. They need them. Well, let's go out there and find them. And what we started doing is when we're researching, we were going, holy, you know what, there's no really good options to understand Facebook advertising. We've done it for a really long time. We have an agency that does it for other people in the most typical sense, and you know, that handheld solution. But there's no software out there that did that, and that's what we were looking for to help ourselves. So we realized there was a space for it. We grew into that space. We produced it. And ever since, we've become the fastest growing digital agency worldwide. We're the first robo-agency of the kind, and we absolutely love it, everything about it, because the idea is, while we might be disrupting the traditional agency model, we go past that, and we're serving a desperate need for small businesses. The more we can help them put more dollars into their pockets, hire more people, buy more in their local communities, it's a win-win for everyone. So that's what we're really excited about.
Dan, I have one more quick question, and then back to you. But is it, do you just do Facebook, or do you also do LinkedIn or others?
So we do Facebook and Instagram. We do not do the other platforms right now. Twitter wasn't producing results well enough for our users, so we decided to stop going in that direction. LinkedIn and Google will be coming in the future. LinkedIn is just a little bit too expensive as a starting point for people at this point, so we haven't decided to go there. But they will be coming. We're also looking at Snapchat and WeChat and a couple other platforms as they mature.
So, Justin, I just thought of another question. I have a friend who has a small business here in Fort Myers, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help him on a local basis?
Of course. Of course.
How do you do that?
We get hyper-local or worldwide. It doesn't matter what you want, right down to the zip code.
But he can't do what he does. He has a service business. He can't. It's like the carpenter or the plumber. He can't go from here to Pocatello, Idaho to do a job. He's looking in a 3 or 4 county radius. So can you be that?
Yeah, for sure. No, just one of those 6 questions is, where are you servicing? Where do you want to find your customers? So it can go right down to the zip code, like I'm saying. They can choose them and go by county, by city, by state, by country. So they get to choose that, right, as part of their setup.
Okay, super. Another question about myself. I've got a new book coming out, and it'll be due out probably the middle of next month. Can you use this social media to build pre-sales for a product that's coming?
Of course. You know, for you, that's what you really want to do. You want to get a nice landing page up that takes an email address, start driving traffic to it, get people interested, let them know it's coming, tease them out with future emails, and then when the book launches, email them all out again, telling them it's live and ready to come. Having multiple touch points to these people based on us driving you the best traffic for your needs is the ideal way to launch a book or any product out there. That is the formula, winning formula.
Okay.
Happy to talk to you about that offline later if you want to reach out.
Yes, please. I would very much like to. Don, back to you.
Well, we're both getting excited because we see so many possibilities.
Absolutely.
Justin, can you give us an example of a campaign that you did that, and some results? I just got this across my computer. Someone asking, can you give an example of one? Obviously, you've excited people, so please tell us.
Yeah. No, listen, if you go to our website, which is www.needles.com, you'll see there's case studies right there. And what we do is we like to pick random ones from different industries to give you a gamut of the things that we do. But I'm happy to just tell you a little story about one. We have this awesome lady. She's actually one of our first users when we launched the platform. She was 70-something years old, and she was a dog walker. And she walked 3 dogs a week, and her goal was to get to 10 dog walks a week because then she'd be able to afford the Christmas presents that her grandchildren had asked for. So we helped her. We set her up. Well, she set herself up, which is the whole case study. It was easy for her to do. Took her under an hour to do absolutely everything. She didn't have to touch it again. We didn't hear from her for a long time, and she kept spending money on her platform, and she kept doing well, and about 6 months later, you know, she actually reached out to me directly and said, you know what, I'm going to have to cancel. And as one of our first users on our platform, I was a little taken back, and she'd been spending good money, and we see when I look in her account, she had really good results. And I said to her, you know, okay, happy to. And we don't have any qualms about people who cancel whenever they want. There's no commitments. What is it that we did wrong, or why are you choosing to cancel? Now she said, listen, it's all for good reasons. I'm like, okay, that's good. Why? Tell me. She's like, I went from those 3 dog walks to 10 dog walks to 20 dog walks a week. Now I'm up to 7 dog walkers who work for me walking other dogs, and the phone keeps ringing, and I can't take any more dogs. I can get my children and grandchildren all the Christmas presents they want, and I'm a happy person. If it dies down, I'll 100% use you guys again. So that's just a classic good story, very smallest type of advertiser you can get to. We have big national brands, like I said. We have large e-commerce stores that use us, financial institutions for credit cards, loan offering, anything that you can think of, it works well with. But that's a great story of this really nice little lady. And there's actually a case study that you can read about her on the website if you go and take a look.
But Justin, is it more that you're better at the consumer side rather than the business-to-business side?
Well, people often ask that question, but the answer is we haven't really seen that. We've seen a good balance because let's say you're another SaaS company, not ours, and you have a program or a system that works, I'm just thinking this up on the spot here, that what do? You are a project management system, okay? There's lots of them out there. These new ones are getting really great. They come to us and say, does it work for this? How do you find them? Well, you have to remember, all the actual account managers and program managers and CIOs and COOs, they don't talk about being a COO or a CIO on Facebook, but they are on Facebook. They're using it for personal reasons. And we find when they're not looking for something and you put it in front of their face, they remember it more because you weren't pushing it on them, but they saw it in a natural, organic way. And when you identify those people based on their needs, their likes, their wants, their interests, and what they have to say, we do a really good job of getting to both the B2C and B2B side of things.
We have less than a minute to go. Dan, one more question?
Yeah, I have one more question about us, Justin. We're in 11 or 10 cities across the nation in our network.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked earlier about my friend who's got the local business. Now that we are in 10 cities, do you think that your social media program, your platform, can help us drive more listeners in those 10 cities to our program?
Not only in those 10 cities, but if you decide that you want to branch out and bring on a new city and expand into it, that's what a lot of people do with us. They go, we're here, we're in Cary, North Carolina, and we do a really good job, but we're looking to get down to Jacksonville, Florida. We sell insurance, and we're all able to do that, want to open up another office. And that's exactly what they use us for. So the answer,
is we're in a 10-city market, and we want to continue to build our audience. You can do that for us. You can help us do that. Okay.
You choose just those 10 locations for us to find those right people, and that's what we would focus on for you.
Okay. Don, we're out of time.
Absolutely. Justin Kartzman, tell people one more time how they can reach you, and thank you so much for being with us.
Well, no, thank you. I really appreciate you having me today. You can find us at www.needles, that's NEEDLS.com. And if you ever want to reach out to me, I'm JH@needles.com. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you guys having me today.
Have a good day. Now, Dan, it's time for your tip of the day.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Small business funding is easier these days thanks to a new breed of lender called FinTech lenders. These internet-based lenders cut the time between applying for funds and getting the funds to just hours instead of months. They also make it easier to repay your loans, but their costs might be a little higher for their service. The next time you need dollars for your small business, try them. You might like to change. I'm Dan Perkins for Recalculating.biz and your small business tip of the day.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
You know, Dan, for two older guys, we sure had some real technology people on today. What do you think?
Well, what I wanted to say, Don, is that what our audience heard today, especially with Justin, is what it is that you and I are doing, because as small business people, as entrepreneurs, we were excited about Justin because he can help us expand our business. I know a friend he can help expand his small business. And so that's what this show is really all about, is trying to help us grow our businesses. And so Justin helped us a great deal. Our other guest told us about how he's growing his business in India. And that's interesting to see what's going on. But today, in today's show, not only did we participate as entrepreneurs, but people got a chance to see what it was like to talk to a specialist. And I hope that there are people in our audience like us who are going to call Justin after this show.
I agree with you. I'm certainly thinking about it for the book and for the radio program. And I like your idea of doing a program in the 10 cities that were on over the air, besides where people that download. We have about 10 seconds left, Dan. I'm going to say goodbye, and you can close it off.
Yes, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's show. We had great fun. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.